Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Colossians chapter 1 is our chapter that we're preaching from. Our theme this year is Rooted in Christ. That theme is taken from Colossians chapter 2, and when I stated the goals for the new year back on December 31st, time frame, January 1st, we said that one of those preaching goals was to preach through the book of Colossians. And I love the Pauline epistles in particular, and I always am thrilled with the doctrinal, pastoral nature of his writings under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that you'll be encouraged as I've been just in the study this week. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9, 10, and 11. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for Mother's Day. We thank you for mothers, and we thank you for the home, the Christian home. And then, Lord, we thank you for a church home. And Lord, we really believe that the church is to come alongside the family and help and encourage. And so we pray that that would happen tonight. And then strengthen our faith tonight, Lord, as we live in a day when so many are turning from the faith and compromising the faith. Help us to learn it, love it, and to stay with it. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would work through us tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul had a strong desire to see the church at Colossae continue. And really, that was his heart for every one of the early churches in the first century, was that they would continue steadfastly, that they would be continuing forth with the gospel and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we come to verses 9 through 11, we see in verse 9 a phrase that reminds us of the ministry of Epaphras, the pastor from Colossae. He says in verse 9, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it." And he is referring to the fact that Epaphras had traveled that 1,000-mile journey from Colossae to Rome to share his burden with the Apostle Paul, and to share with the Apostle Paul the concerns that he had that this church had been engulfed with the philosophies that were prevalent, the Greek mysticism, the Greek philosophies, one of which was a type of Gnosticism that, as we said a few weeks ago, caused people to begin to question some of the fundamental doctrines of the Word of God, some of the fundamental truths about Jesus Christ Himself. And so Paul says, since I heard about this encroachment, since I heard about some of these problems, he said, I've been praying for you. And he was praying that they would not lose their purpose, that they would not lose their focus. Now, it's wise when a Christian man or woman has a maturity to recognize that the heart is deceitfully wicked, and that at any time we could be pulled away without even really knowing it. In fact, most people that I have seen make wrong decisions or even backslide did not think they were until the damage was almost done or already done. They kind of thought they were doing the right thing. And so it's a good thing to approach every service and every time you read the Bible with this idea, Lord, try my heart, search me, show me if there be any wicked way. And then on top of that, it's even a better thing periodically to have one or two in your life that you could go to and say, how do you think I'm doing? Is there any way that you would admonish me as my teacher, associate pastor, godly man in the church? Is there anything that you would help me with that might be something that you're burdened with me about? That's another safeguard. But Paul did not have the opportunity to know them. He didn't really know if they were having this heart that was that open. He did not have the opportunity to go to them so they could ask him, how are we doing? Or is there anything you're concerned about in the culture that might affect our faith? And so he just said, I want you to know that ever since I heard from Epaphras that there were these false doctrines infiltrating into the church. He said, I want you to know, I've been praying that you would stay with the right purpose and that you would go with a right direction. And I just want to say this again tonight, that none of us as individuals and no church in America is ever extinct from the potential drift that's happening in this land. There are churches in the San Francisco Bay Area, and there are churches in the LA area and all throughout the New England states that at one time preached the gospel. They were sending missionaries. They were fundamental in their approach to the scripture. And today they are celebrating all kinds of false teaching, and all kinds of things are being taught from those pulpit that are against the Bible. So we need to recognize that, as the Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm praying that you'll stay on point. We need to pray that that would be the case always in our lives, and never have the attitude that says, I'm okay, all right? I'm all right. I'll be fine. I'm always going to be fine. I just need this time. I just need to do this. It's what I need. I know that this is what I need, and so forth, because Satan is a liar, and he's always lying to the church. And he had been lying to the church at Colossae. And so I want you to notice Paul's admonition and Paul's prayer. Notice, if you're taking notes, first of all, tonight, this was a continuing prayer. A continuing prayer. Verse number 9, he said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now, this was not unusual for the Apostle Paul. And we often overlook his prayer life, but it was a significant part of his ministry. And especially as he was there under Roman guard, not able to do a lot else, one of the main ministries he had was prayer. Sometimes the widows in our church say to me, Pastor, I can't do very much. Sometimes the shut-ins say, I wish I could do more. And I always say to them with sincerity of heart, what you can do is spend more time in prayer. And that's what we need more than anything, is prayer and the prayer support of God's people. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. 2 Timothy 1, 3, I thank God whom I served with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee both night and day in my prayers. And here in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. George Mueller, the great British preacher and really a man that had great compassion on the needy in the streets of London and had the wonderful children's home, said, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk, when I lie down, when I rise, and the answers are always coming. He was a man who walked in prayer and who spent time in prayer that God would work through him. Now, Paul said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, notice this, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Have you ever watched a teenager or a young person, maybe these college young people, maybe a friend of yours who's a grown adult, and you see that drift begin, or you sense that the basis for their decision-making is not what it once was, and you begin to think and pray for them, and you begin to have a desire that you hope they don't go a wrong direction, and you have such a strong desire that your children will make the right choices in their lives for friendships and dating, and that they would make the right choices with their... And there's just such a strong desire that it just overwhelms you. Have you ever loved somebody enough that your desire for them to do right was so strong that it kind of preoccupied your mind and it drove you to your knees in prayer because you were so desirous for them to make the right choice and you were so concerned for them not to get off in a wrong direction? And so when you read that word desire, it means to ask, to beg, to call out in earnestness. And so when Paul said, you know, I desired it, he wasn't saying, hey, you guys go into Gnosticism, fine, it doesn't affect me much. Hey, you guys go into false teaching, I'm still going to have my dinner tonight. No, his desire was so strong, it was a trouble to him. It was a burden to him. And it was something that he was bringing to the Lord in prayer because of this strong desire. Many times we find that people don't have a prayer life that has that angst with it, that desire, that importunity. They don't have a prayer life that's really earnest in its nature. But Paul said, listen, I'm praying and I'm desiring for you that you do the right thing. I heard about two men who were walking through a field one day together, and they spotted not far from them, an enraged bull. Boy, they looked at that bull and it was snorting and it was drooling and its nose was running. I mean, it looked like the meanest animal out there. And the bull began to come after them with hot pursuit. And it was pretty obvious they weren't going to make it. They were trying to get out of that bull's way, but it just wasn't happening fast enough. And terrified, one of the men said, "Say a prayer, John, we're in for it." And John answered, he said, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life before." And he said, "But you must, you must. The bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John. He said, "I'll say the one prayer that I know, the one my father used to repeat all of the time. Oh, Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Now, folks, if that's the extent of your prayer life, might I suggest that you would get into the habit of prayer and start your day off tomorrow in prayer. Listen, do you have a teenager tonight? It's time that you start desiring some things for them and praying for them. You can wait until there's a problem with a relationship or school or till they're in trouble, but wouldn't it be better to start praying for them now? And wouldn't it be better to pray for your marriage now? And is there someone that's lost that you could pray for now? And could you pray for America with great desire right now? And this was a continuing prayer Paul had for the churches and now for the church at Colossae. Now, what was the prayer? And I want you to see it. This is a prayer that I'm praying right now for my life and for the lives of many dear loved ones. And I want you to see his prayer, verse 9. He said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." Paul said, the first thing I'm praying for is that you would know God's will. They had received Christ. They had begun in Christ. Their roots had started in Christ. And now this false teaching had come along. Gnosticism was prevalent. False gods from the Greek culture were prevalent. And they were being pulled in some different directions. And you, in your lifetime, will be pulled. Do I make this decision? Do I go with this people? Do I take this job? Do I follow this particular habit or routine? So Paul said, as I pray for you, I'm praying that you might know the will of God. And in particular, in verse 9, he says that you might be filled with the will of God. That you might be full up or complete or controlled with it. As when you read Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be," what's the next word say? "But be filled." And the word there means to be controlled. So he says, I want you to get a hold of the will of God, so that you are controlled by the will of God, so that nothing can shake you from the will of God. Now, sometimes we get mystical about the will of God, and we'll not take time tonight to look at every single verse that deals with the will of God. But let me just tell you, my friend, it is God's will, number one, that you would get saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will that we would have a burden for the lost. It is God's will that we would be faithful to our family. It is God's will that we would be faithful to the house of God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's God's will that we would live with integrity. And the list goes on. Now, as you know that will, then be filled with that will. Be controlled by the will of God. And don't let anything or anyone pull you from doing that which you know to be right and know to be the will of God. Listen, my friend, tonight, we're here opening up the Word of God, hearing preaching tonight, because we believe it to be the will of God for God's people to hear the preaching of the Word of God in the local New Testament church. And if this wasn't the will of God, it would not be necessary. Tomorrow morning, spend time with the Lord. Tomorrow, love your family. Pray for your family. Why do we do these things? Because they are the will of God concerning us. And we need to be filled up with it and controlled by it. I heard about a middle-aged farmer that wanted to be a preacher for years, and he kind of fancied himself as maybe one day becoming a preacher. One day while he was working out in the field, he decided to rest under a tree, and he looked up in the sky and he saw some clouds, and one of them seemed to have a P. The other one seemed to have a C. And he pondered that for a moment, and he said, "Finally, I realized what it meant." He said, that cloud appearance, that letter P and that letter C, those letters together stood for preach Christ. And he said that was God telling him that he should be a preacher. And so he did his very best, and he went down to the church and he asked for a turn at the preaching, and he did all that he could. But the fact was, he was a terrible preacher. People sat there just praying he would soon come to an end of the message. And And he kept telling them his story about the cloud and the pea and the sea and wanting them to share in this great excitement about the fact that he was going to now spend much more of his time communicating the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. And finally, one man came up to him and said, "You know, brother," he said, "I'm not sure, but just think about it. That PC could have meant plant corn." Now, I'm not sure whether it was God's will for that guy to preach or not, but I know there's a lot of people that try to get mystical about what God's will is, and there may be some things that we pray about and we're not sure about. We wait on the Lord. We seek godly counsel. We pray. We read the Bible. We go through those things to discover what God would have us to do. But I can guarantee you that the basic elements of the Christian life are not left to chance, and you can know God's will in those matters. And when you mature to know what God wants you to do as a wife, as a husband, as a parent, as a church member, then be filled with it and don't let anything keep you from it. You see, Paul said, "I'm praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will." He said, "I want you as a church to know the will of God." Secondly, he said, "I want you to possess God's wisdom." Now look at this in verse 9. He said, "I cease not to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." In all wisdom. Now notice these two words. First, the word wisdom, the Greek word sophia, means to be, it is an ability to collect and organize principles from the Scripture. Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge rightly. So Paul said, "You have knowledge and you've received training, but I'm praying that you will know how, that you will have the wisdom to use the knowledge that you have received." Because they had received the knowledge of Christ from Epaphras, but now these other things were coming in, and he says, "I pray earnestly for you that you will know the will of God, be filled with the will of God, be so filled with the will of God that nothing else has room to get in, and I'm praying that you will know the wisdom of God, that you will know how to use the knowledge that's been given to you." And notice what else there in verse number 9, and he says, "spiritual understanding." Now, this word here, spiritual understanding, refers to the application of God's principles to everyday life. So we have knowledge, which is the truth of God's word, and we have wisdom, the ability to use that knowledge, and we have spiritual understanding, which is discernment, to know how to apply a truth to a given situation. And when you find men and women who have wisdom and spiritual understanding, and they're using that properly, that is a gift from God. That is something that all of us should pray for, to know the will of God, to have the wisdom of God, and to be filled with spiritual understanding. Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this is what we mean by he is a godly man. She is a godly woman. And I believe with all of my heart tonight that it is a lifelong process. And it is what Paul continually prayed for, that they would know the will of God, and that they would walk in the wisdom of God and have spiritual understanding. Because there is a reason, my friend, in the Bible that God refers to us as sheep or as little lambs. And you've heard this before. Because sheep are the smartest animals in the animal kingdom, right? No. The Bible is clear that all of us have the great potential and an earnest propensity toward dumbness. Towards saying things that are dumb, towards making dumb decisions, and all of us have done it, and maybe even today a few times as well. And so all of us need someone praying for us, and all of us need to pray ourselves to God. God, show me your will. God, give me your wisdom. God, fill me with spiritual understanding. And I will say to you, in my life, I have the Holy Spirit as you do. I have the Word of God as you do, and I thank God, and I have never made a major decision in my life. I've never even started down the pathway. I've never even started praying about major decisions until I locked in on the fact I'm going to find some men with spiritual understanding. I mean, deep men of God who have a sense of the times and a sense of the Word and a sense of what's going on. who have spiritual understanding, who will begin to labor with me in prayer and fast and pray with me so that I might not in even one day of my life step outside of the will of God. I want to live my life understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I want to tell you, my friend, life is short and we don't want to spend days and months wondering and wondering and paddling and paddling and waiting and searching when we can know what the will of God is. And I want to challenge you tonight to know His will and do His will and get filled up with His will about being a Christian and a father and a husband and a faithful man of God and do the will of God. So this was Paul's continual prayer. He said, look, ever since I heard about this struggle, I've been praying for you. I've been praying that you'd know God's will. I've been praying that you'd be filled with spiritual understanding. I've been praying that you'd know how to try the spirits. I'd be praying that when those come along and say, hey, you know, all matter is evil, and Jesus, you say, was in the flesh, but that can't be, that you would try the spirits, that you would have spiritual understanding and realize that is a false teacher that is saying that. Paul said, I wish I could be there for you. I wish I could quote the scriptures to the false teachers. I wish I could fight some of them for you, but I can't be there, so I'm praying that you will know how to make the right decision at the right time. So it was a continuing prayer. How many of you would say, Pastor, I need that prayer, and I need to pray that prayer, and I need spiritual understanding for my life starting tomorrow morning? How many of you are right there with me? See, not just the Colossians, but all of us. Notice secondly, we see a continuing prayer. We see, secondly, a Christian purpose. There was a purpose that Paul desired for them. He was praying for them because he knew that as they were filled up with the knowledge of God's will, they would accomplish something greater with their life. Now, as long as I'm in the valley of decision and as long as I am in a moment where I'm unsure about a position, I'm unsure about something, then normally I'm not going forward as quickly or with the velocity that I could. But Paul said, I'm praying that you'll get filled up with the will of God because my prayer is for a purpose in your life. And the purpose is found in verse number 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, notice this, being fruitful in every good work and increased in the knowledge of God. When a man is wandering around going, what is the meaning of life and why am I here and what am I supposed to do and what am I supposed to do next? When we're in a quandary like that, we may bear some fruit, but we never bear as much fruit as we could when we are rooted and planted in Christ, in a location, in a family relationship, in the church relationship. The purpose is fulfilled in a much more powerful way when we are filled up with the will of God, knowing this is where I am, this is what God's called me to do, this is what God made me to do. When you know what that is and you're doing what God has called you to do, then verse 10 is the result. That result is that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increased in the knowledge of God. The knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding leads you then, first of all, letter A, to a worthy walk. You see, the purpose of God for my life and yours this week is that we would have a worthy walk, that our testimony would be known and that it would be a tremendous godly testimony. Now, walk is in reference to our daily life and conduct. Notice what it says here, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And that literally means pleasing God in everything that we do. Unto all pleasing is not that we're trying to please everybody out there, but that we are so walking in such a way that it is pleasing to the Lord. For example, 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And as you are walking in the knowledge and wisdom of God, you are walking a pleasing walk. Let me say this, this summer, as the temperatures warm up and you might have some time of vacation, let me encourage you, do not take a vacation from God. Walk worthy of God this summer. Walk worthy of God this summer and let your conversation, as the verse says out front, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, Paul said. I want to hear of your affairs and I want to hear that you are walking a worthy walk. And I'm just saying, whether it's December 1st or August 1st, somebody ought to see your life and mine And you may be a little more relaxed in the summertime, but may I say they ought to still be able to see your life and mine and say, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. That person right there is a Christian. And we're to walk worthy. And I want to challenge you this summer, if you take some time off, and I hope you'll get some time, I want to challenge you, don't take time off from God. Find your way into a church. Find your way into the house of God. Stay in the habit of church attendance. Stay in the habit of prayer. And make sure you're giving and being faithful in giving before you go on vacation. Make sure that as you're going out, you might dress more comfortably. I understand that. But hey, let's still remember, ladies, to be modest and godly. And men, let's remember, just because someone else is popping a Budweiser doesn't mean we have to do that. Hey, you walk the worthy walk this summer. And let everybody know you're a child of God this summer. Worthy walk. Walk a worthy walk that shows that you are walking in spiritual discernment and spiritual understanding. It ought to be a worthy walk. And then I want you to notice, secondly, it ought to be a fruitful work. Notice in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now, the word worthy of the Lord speaks about your testimony. It speaks about the fact that our deportment as a Christian should be different, that we are to be the light in this world. But this second word that we come across in verse number 10 says fruitful in every good work. This is speaking about our fruitfulness, our faithfulness in being productive, not that we produce the fruit, but as we are yielded to the Holy Spirit, fruit is produced through our life. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know the story. God did not save us by His grace so we could live however we want to live. He saved us so that we would bear fruit in this world and that our lives would be fruit-bearing. Turn, if you would, very quickly to John 15 and verse 4. John 15 and verse number 4. And think with me about this matter of being a fruit-bearing Christian. John 15, 4. You've read it before. John 15, 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And so God says, I want you to abound in fruit. And oftentimes we have much spiritual intelligence without much practical obedience. And God says, I want you to have a worthy walk. I want you to have a fruitful work. I want your life to bear fruit. Now, that may be in the form of love. That may be in the form of long-suffering. That may be in the form of gentleness, faith, meekness, patience. But it may also be in the form of bringing someone else to Christ. It may be in the form of some other activity that God enables you to be a part of. But He said, I'm praying that your purpose would be a purpose with a worthy walk, with a fruitful work, and notice thirdly, with a growing knowledge. He said, I'm praying that you're going to grow in knowledge. Look what it says here again in verse 10. He says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Would you say that last phrase with me? And say it again. And right. Now, I heard a man one time, he backslid and got a little cynical, and he said to his friends, he said, you know, I've been to this church for so many years, wasn't this church, but he said, I've been going to church, he said, I think I've heard over 3,000 of the messages of our pastor, and I can't even remember one of them. And he was being a little negative. And his friend thought about that. He said, you know, he said, I've been married to my wife for X amount of years, and he said, I figure she's probably cooked for me thousands and thousands of meals. He said, to be honest with you, right now, I can't really remember any of them. But he said, truth is, I've been sustained and nourished and given health because of the meals that she cooked for me. Now, I want to tell you something. When we come to the house of God, we ought to come with this third purpose in mind. That is to grow and to increase in the knowledge of God's Word. Now, really, what I've just given you, if you are just taking a moment to think about it, is a purpose for your life. Do you have a purpose statement at your business? Well, what about for your life? What about for your family? I shared some of those with you, and I preached earlier this year, maybe last fall. But here's a purpose, to have a worthy walk. Hey, wouldn't it be great if everyone here tonight said, I want my testimony to be distinct in this world, to have a fruitful work. Wouldn't it be great if everyone here said, I want my life to bear fruit. I want to help others come to the kingdom. And thirdly, I want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How many of you would say that would be a good statement of purpose for my life? And this matter of growing, look at that in verse number 10. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He said, I want to know the Lord. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding that we may know Him that is true. Oh, listen, we ought to say tonight, Lord, I want to know just a little more about You, just a little more of Your attributes, just a little more of Your greatness, just a little more of Your nature. I want to grow. That's my purpose. And Paul realized if they got pulled off into this other stuff, they weren't going to grow in their knowledge. They were going to be pulled away from the knowledge of God. And he said, I'm praying for you that you'll have a Christian purpose, that your walk will be distinct and that your fruit will be known and that you will grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And so there's a continuing prayer that they might know, that Paul was praying for them to know the will of God, to have spiritual understanding. It was a continuing prayer. Secondly, it was a Christian purpose he was after. He was thinking, hey, these people at Colossae, they're in a pagan city, and the pagan idols are everywhere, and they're surrounded by idolatry and surrounded by lust and wickedness, but I'm just praying that they'll know the will of God so that they'll live a Christian purpose, and their walk will be different, and their fruit will be different, and their knowledge will be deeper in Jesus Christ. That's what you ought to pray for your children, that they would not reflect this pagan culture, but that they would have a worthy walk and a fruitful life and a growing knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if that means you turn the television off sometime, then turn that television off. And if that means that you don't play idle, wasteful time, and you spend more time just as a family and talking about the Lord and having some family altar time, and I'm just saying, whatever it takes to have a Christian purpose in your life and in your home, make sure you dedicate yourself as Paul's prayer teaches us. But then I want you to see thirdly tonight Paul's continuing prayer, his Christian purpose, but notice thirdly, his constant patience for them. Now look at this in verse 11. He said, I'm praying that you would be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, Paul prayed, first of all, that they would have strength for the journey. Now, this idea of getting saved, this Christian life, salvation is the miracle of a moment, but really, spiritual growth is the process of a lifetime. And he said, I'm praying that you'll be patient with this. I'm praying that you won't throw up your hands in despair and just revert back to the Greek culture. I'm praying for you, verse number 11, that you'll be strengthened with all might, that you'll be strong with all might, dynamite power. Notice, in fact, according to the glorious power of Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I'm telling you tonight, some of you started off in the Christian life, things were going pretty good, and all of a sudden somebody tried to pull you into another school of thought. Someone tried to discourage you from being a Christian or a Baptist or from going faithfully to church. And I'm just telling you that sometimes we need to come back to this prayer, as Paul was praying in verse 11, that we would be strengthened with His might, according to His glorious power, and that you might say tonight, Lord, sometimes I get tired, and sometimes the old devil pulls against me. I need Your glorious power once again to get me through this week. That's what Paul was praying. Isaiah said it this way, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I thank God for the times when we can have rest and prayer and when we can have some fellowship and some time off. And that's needed. But I also thank God for the fact that His Spirit can minister into the deeper resources and inner resources of our own heart and give us the strength and the patience that we need when the battle and the day is long. Ephesians 3 and 16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I was talking with Brother Bobby Robertson the other day, and we were talking about the ministry and how he has pastored that church there at Gospel Light Baptist Church these 51 years. How at age 29, he suffered a major physical setback and spent time in the hospital and even had some of his deacons come and say, it's kind of obvious to us that God is done with you. And Brother Bobby shared with us many times how he came back to the church, couldn't have a pulpit. He had to sit down in a chair and try to preach from the chair. But he said, God gave me the strength to keep going. And they went from the little tiny building, about 150 seat pews, and to the 700 seat pews, and now to the 3,000 seat auditorium. And now at age 80, they just completed a student commons gymnasium with a triple wide gymnasium, multi-million dollar project. He said, it hasn't always been easy. And he said, I remember when my son, Steve, our youth pastor for 20 some years, felt that he needed to go. He said, it was a lonely time. And he said, I remember the trying time of that. And he said, I remember all the funerals we've been through and all the times of loss and all the times of difficulty. But he said, I want to tell you, Brother Chapel, after 51 years of it, God's still on the throne. His anointing's still on my life. And he's still doing great and mighty things. And I thank God that he gave patience to that mighty man of God. And I don't know what you might experience this week, but I know sometimes we need a constant patience, a constant strength for our journey. Notice he prayed for strength in the journey, but notice secondly, he prayed also for joy in patience. Notice this, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering. Now notice this, with joyfulness. He said, I'm praying for you that you'll have patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now I don't know about you, but I struggle with that one. I pray, Lord, I want patience. And the Lord helps me with that, and I have to have his help with it. But to be patient and joyful at the same time, anybody else struggle with that, or am I the only one? I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm being patient, but could you please hurry, because this is not fun. Could you please take care of this situation or that situation? And isn't it interesting what the Holy Spirit says here, that you'll be strengthened according to his power, that you'll have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, the word patient, you've studied this before, but I want to just cover it with you quickly. The word patient here means to remain under. All right, let's say that together. To remain under. Do you ever have something come into your life, something like lifting weights in the weight room? And I'm not a weightlifter, and some of you could tell me more about it. But when you are lifting weights, and maybe you have a certain amount of pressure on you, there does come a point physically where you say, you know, this was nice and fine, and, you know, I got real motivated when I saw the video and everything. But this is starting to hurt my body. And normally what I've had people tell me about weightlifting is, hey, you know, when it really starts to hurt, that's when you do three or four more. Right? That's what they tell you. Because that's when you start really ripping the muscle apart. And that's, you got to rip it, boy. You got to really rip it. And that's what they tell you. They say you might do five or six if you do those fairly easily. That's good. But you got to really take those last few. And I mean, just really do it. And it's going to really hurt. But you got to really do it and just rip it. And you got to tear those muscles, because then they're going to rebuild and they're going to get bigger. And you're going to be strong like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that's what a lot of people think. And that's what they want. And so, a few times, you know, over the years, I've gotten hold of something heavy like that and just, you know, kind of go for it for a little while. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, it's that time, right? We're just going to rip it now. We're just going to really rip it. And about the second time of ripping it, I'm like, this is stupid. And normally I'll take whatever I'm holding, I'll just kind of drop it on the ground, you know, and let someone else give it a whirl, because I don't like to remain under something that's ripping me. You know, I just don't like to remain under that. If I have it in the power to make a choice to not remain under it, I'll just let it down. But sometimes in life, we come into those weight room seasons, and there's something on us, and it's starting to rip us, and we really start to lose patience, and we're tempted to just say, that's it, I quit. But God says, I'm praying that you'll have patience and, notice that next word, long suffering. I'm praying you'll remain under the burden with perseverance, and that you, through all of this, will have joyfulness. Joy is not emotional happiness, but it is that inner strength that comes from God. And Paul says, hey, church at Colossae, I know you're 1,000 miles away, but I just heard from Pastor Epaphras, you're going through a time where you're under it. I just heard that some of your own friends and relatives are making fun of you. I just heard that some of those teachers and those lovers of philosophy, they've been trying to draw you away. And so I said, I just want you to know I'm in a continuing prayer for you that you'll have wisdom and spiritual understanding to know this is a spiritual battle. And he said, I'm praying for you that you'll come to a Christian purpose for your life, that you'll have a worthy walk and a fruitful work, and that you'll get to know God in a greater way through this time. And he said, I'm praying for you that you'll have, in the midst of all this, a constant patience, that you'll remain under it. Don't quit on the Colossae Baptist Church. Don't quit on Jesus, but with patience, stay under it. And with joy, let God help you to get through it so that you might walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. I don't know what you're carrying tonight, but I want to encourage you to pray that God will give you the strength to remain under it and to keep on keeping on for the Lord.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.